conscience of the soul. If you'll take your Bibles and leave that for a moment, turn over there to 1 Timothy, you're going to find that 1 Timothy will talk about, as well as 2 Timothy, the conscience. Now, the conscience is the window of the soul. It's very important that you keep your conscience tender and clean. But if you are holding grudges of any kind against any well, he talks, first of all, about a good conscience, a pure conscience. I'm sorry. Look at chapter 3 of 1 Timothy and look at verse 9. Holding forth the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. Now, that word pure means clean. I said a few moments ago, the conscience is the window of the soul. Now, a window is very important.
Amen.
It's important so that you can look out correctly and the light from the outside can come in and shine in your life. It has a twofold purpose.
Amen.
When I think about that, I was thinking this morning or yesterday afternoon when I was just finishing up the message. Immediately when I thought of a window, I was thinking of how many
familiar
with the
Shepherd's Home. Let's take the Word of God tonight. And again, I'm laying aside this week the studies in Revelation simply because we're doing an introduction
to
the seven sayings of Christ
on the cross.
And
it is for mentally
and if you just give
a
quick review
of
those seven sayings of Christ, there are seven
as our Lord
hung on
that
cross. I remember the first one is over in Luke 23.
Those years was the
that's where I want you to think about this evening, and then we'll look at other references.
Problem you
Father,
have.
Forgive them, for they
His
know
answer was
not
very
what they do.
He said, keeping the windows
this is words of pardon.
He said, these retarded children.
I think of
spend
the seven sayings,
the very one that he, against the window.
That he gives us first is the greatest
looking
need of all of us
for
forgiveness.
Jesus to come.
So we saw that.
Because
and then
want to get
the second
bodies,
one, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, in the same chapter, verse 43.
These are
new
words
bodies
of promise to that
think about thief that hung tonight next to him.
And they just
and then the next one, the third one is, woman, behold thy son.
Constantly. And we don't
and to John, behold
things
thy
we're
mother.
Glad. You know what? Who the
words
real retarded people
concerning
are
concerning
that are not looking for Jesus to come.
And the Lord's love for his
that's
mother.
That's real retardation.
That's John 19,
and,
verse
and
26
and 27.
And that's
the idea of the word
and then the
pure
fourth
here,
one,
the one
keeping
right
it
in the
clean,
middle,
so that is found
so that
in Matthew
we can
as well as
see
Mark,
clearly
when he said, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken
grudges
me?
Grudges against people.
Words
have
of
a dirty
one
window
who
have
took
on our punishment.
It's just dirty. Who caused the Father to forsake
and then
him.
It's
the
so
fifth
also
one is found
so
in John
the light
chapter
of God's
19,
word
verse 28. I thirst.
Words,
light
of one
of God's
in
word.
Great pain.
He talks about
as he
a
hung
pure
on the cross.
Conscience. Notice I
he
said
also
words,
talks about
all
a good conscience in the same
five
chapter.
Of these words,
chapter
but
one,
when
chapter
I come
one,
to verse
the
five.
Sixth
now
one,
the end of the command
is
charity and of a pure heart
great,
and of a
it is only
good
conscience.
One word.
And is a
without
word
of
bad
perfection.
Good conscience.
In other words, that's that,
that you
word
just
that is there
free
means there is nothing that he could add to that to improve what he has done for
then
us. If you
again,
go to
that's
1
Timothy
John
chapter
19,
4,
verse
30,
John, he talks about a
and then the
good conscience and a pure
into
conscience,
hands,
but be careful
commend
that you're going to have a seer come. Chapter 4, verse 2, he says, speaking lies
and
hypocrisy, having their conscience seared.
And we'll be dealing with
those
iron
in the next several
you know
weeks.
I like to compare that
we
to,
began today
like
to deal with
that
words,
just
words
covered up,
so the only darkness.
One being
darkness
hardened when he said, Father, forgive
no
them,
for they know not what they do. And this morning,
you become insensitive.
We looked at the grief.
And if you are holding grudges, I guarantee you will become insensitive.
When
to
I think
the
of the grief and with that tense of the verb, when he said
the
over there,
the soul,
then said Jesus.
The word said is in the imperfect tense of the verb,
the
which literally
God
means over and over again.
He
said, Father,
conscience.
Forgive them. Father,
that's
forgive
our
them. Father, forgive them. Father, how many of you have ever been
forgive
bothered
them
by your
of their sins?
Been convicted.
Then we notice three levels
tell you right
of
now,
need
of forgiveness, which is
there is
God's
positional forgiveness.
Torment.
And unless
when
you know Jesus
right,
Christ is your personal Savior,
if you're not careful and
you're
you
not going to heaven,
that.
That's positional.
Matter of fact, there are times probably when some of us don't even feel
hardened
saved, still saved. There are times,
have you
ever
been in your life where you just didn't
you
feel
just
saved or feel unworthy?
Your conscience is
you're
so
saved anyway.
Tender. That's positional.
So precious.
Then that personal forgiveness, 1 John 1.
Don't put a covering across the window of your soul. Secondly,
not only do we see the conscience of the soul, but we see the chastisement that God comes from God. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Now, over there in chapter 12, you will find beginning there in verse 5 down through verse 11, you will find the word chastisement or chastening or chasten 7 times in that text. And in that text, he talks about, look there in verse 5, and you have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he what? I want to give you John Stevens' translation of verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he beats the tar out of him when he acts up. That's John Stevens' translation. He just comes down hard on you because he loves you. Just as you love your children, therefore you punish them. You chastise them. And so what is the purpose of that chastisement? Have you thought about that? You know, oftentimes we whip our children, we spank our children out, we do it out of anger. I suppose I've done that. My wife has accused me of doing that when our kids were growing up so forth. And matter of fact, Susan says, Grandpa, the kids can get away with stuff I could never get away with. I said, that's because they're my grandchildren. Mind your own business. No, I don't say it quite that way. But, you know, grandparents just, you understand, how many are grandparents here? You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Joe? Harvey, you know what I'm talking about. Brother Don, you know this. And so we see here, but the purpose, I want you to understand, God will torment us, he will chastise us, and I don't know anyone who is being disciplined or being chastened by his earthly parents that walks up while it's happening and says, listen, you didn't hit me hard enough. Would you do that again? Now, if you do, you belong in the shepherd's home. You got some problems. I don't know anyone. I don't know with my own children. They've never said, now, Dad, I just why don't you give me another whipping? It's just literally what I needed. I mean, you want to just take them and say, boy, this kid's got problems. Know whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And what are you trying to get? Let me just make sure that what we're trying to do. There are 3 thoughts here. Number one, the purpose of chastisement, number one, is repentance. Mark that down. That's so key. That's so key, because here we realize the importance of it. Verse 10: For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. They do it for their own reasons. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. The window's dirty. God wants to chastise us so we'll get the window clean. Because we find in verse 14, following peace with all men and holiness wealth, which no man can see the Lord. He can't see through the window of his soul. So God does what he does for that. Turn with me, go to the Old Testament for just a moment. The book of Proverbs, chapter 14. I want you to get this verse. Because that's one of God's tormentors, this chastisement. Look at verse 14. I have highlighted that verse. I could almost preach an hour on that verse. Don't worry, I'm not going to. The backslider in his heart shall be filled with his own ways. What a verse. Full pride. And a good man, a good conscience, shall be satisfied from himself, or literally, from beyond himself to the Lord. But a backslider is just so full of himself. You want to get into the place of repentance. It's a great verse. Not only do we need that repentance, but my besought, but that restitution might be made. Now get this. Restitution is a willingness to do something to make amends for the hurt or pain you've caused someone. Whenever you want to get right with somebody that you have hurt, think of restitution as well as repentance. Because there may be something you need to do to make it right. You have an illustration of that. If you turn with me over to the book of Luke, again, chapter 19 this time, Luke chapter 19. And when you turn there, you'll see this. In Luke 19, it's the story of Zacchaeus who climbed up that tree, that little fella. Look at verse 8 of chapter 19 of Luke. This is the one who found Jesus. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore it fourfold." Restitution. There are times in our lives when we have to say to the people that we've hurt, "What can I do to make this right? What can I do to make this right?" And the really important that repentance must be followed by restitution. To make, he had him murdered in Israel, but most have always sinned against God. But he talks about the recovery is threefold. He talks about three types of spirit. When you come over here to verse 10, as he is concluding this great confession, in verse 10 he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit." Now, the right spirit is directed to the one you've hurt, to make things right. First to who? Watch this. Him. And then whoever here. A right spirit is to make things right with those you've hurt. And when you do that, and by the way, you ever have to make things right with people? Watch your wording. A reason why I say that, anytime an apology is followed by an excuse to the offense, the excuse cancels out the apology. Mark that down. Let me say that to you again. Anytime an apology is followed by an excuse for the offense, the excuse cancels out the apology. You know, I know what I did was wrong. I just was not in a good mood. Or I know what I did wrong, but you know, you just kind of set me up. Or I'm having a bad day. That just goes away with the apology.